Hi, I can't hear yet.
There we go. You hear me?
I can. Hello.
Hello, hello. Let me get a better view here.
I will not be using the video, just audio. So.
Oh shit! Okay.
All good.
All right. So this is gonna just will just be in podcast form. Then it's not gonna be in You're not gonna save it in video at all, though.
No, I don't use it.
I want to. Can I use it, or you know? I want a copy of the audio at least, or something.
I can, but I'll release it next week. But I can give you a copy. You can do whatever you want with it. No biggie.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. But so yeah, upload it somewhere, and I'll release it after you release it.
Okay. I usually do like I have a screen. And I do like a recap. I'm trying to change my YouTube channel a little bit, but with the podcast, I only do audio. And then with the meetups, I do audio and video. But, you know.
I thought I remember seeing, like a YouTube channel. So like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I put the podcast on YouTube because it's the easiest way to get captions without having going through the trouble of doing the captions, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so we all look decent enough to appear on. Okay. We're great. We're beautiful. All right.
We're always beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. That's your, is that your place that I was in for that one moment?
No, I have a new place. It's a bit bigger than the old one. You know, because of COVID, rents is, and there's no tourism, no Airbnb, rents are so good. Rents are special.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen. If there are no, I knew who was coming up. It was Americans were coming and bumping up the prices of the Airbnbs, which brought everything else up. Now they're not coming. And
not just the Americans, the Chinese, the Japanese.
Yeah.
The Europeans, everybody.
When it goes to no one, yeah, it makes a big difference now.
Exactly. So we are paying pretty much the same that we were paying in the other place, only it's a much newer building and it's twice the size. And we have a swimming pool.
That's good. That's great.
That is very good. Is there anything that we can't touch? I mean, this should be about 25 minutes, so it's not really a lot of time. I basically want to cover those things that I sent you. Like this podcast is more about why working in the space is really cool. Why should everybody get involved? And okay. In your case, because you're a hardcore Bitcoiner, let's talk a little bit about that and what it's a maximalist and, well, you know, fun thing.
Yeah, I got, I went over all your questions, so I'm ready for all those questions. Yeah.
Awesome. So shall we?
Yeah.
Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It's midnight for me. What time is it for you?
It's 8 in the morning here.
Awesome. 8 in the morning in sunny Miami.
Yes.
How long have you been there? Have you been traveling around at all during, the last few months?
Yes, I've been traveling around the entire United States. So I've been in Miami since the beginning of January. I was in Arizona before that. And I was in Baltimore, where I'm from, before that. And Utah and Asheville, North Carolina. So I've been all over.
Has the winter been okay? I mean, in spite of COVID?
I avoid that. See, that's the thing. I avoid the winter. In Miami, there is no winter. It's great. It's incredible.
Amazing. I love that part of the US as well. Let's roll back in time and talk about your journey to being a full-time YouTuber. What were you doing before that? And how do you, get to discover Bitcoin and work in this space?
Oh, wow. I was doing my own, had my own internet company where I did marketing research for software companies. So I was already my own boss. And I found out, and so I had free time. You know, I could work in the middle of the night, like you're working in the middle of the night. And that was fun, being an entrepreneur, running my own little business. And I discovered Bitcoin, and it was intriguing. And I kept hearing about it on alternative financial sites. Now, at the same time I was hearing about this Bitcoin thing in around, I guess, 2011, I also was involved in activities in my hometown of Baltimore City that were somewhat political, just a community activist type of person for my neighborhood, interested in the housing situation in Baltimore. And I was always internet savvy. Again, I started my own little internet business. So I got into YouTube and I was making videos about Baltimore, about the political situation in Baltimore and some of the politicians I was familiar with. And in 2013, when the price of Bitcoin, there was a spike toward the end of the year. And that was like my FOMO moment. Like I decided in November of 2013, I am getting into this thing. And once I bought my first two Bitcoin in November, I was just enthusiastic beyond compare. I'm like, why don't I make a video about it? And that's what I made because I was used to making Baltimore videos. So I made a YouTube video about Bitcoin. And then I bought some more Bitcoin. I started traveling a little bit more. I was still making Baltimore political videos. And I decided to make another Bitcoin video. And I really started getting more and more into Bitcoin and feeling I had to express myself online more. And once I went to my first Bitcoin conference in 2015, then I started making more Bitcoin videos. And I was having more fun with the Bitcoin videos. And hardly anyone watched the Baltimore videos. So more people were watching the Bitcoin videos. Now, during this time, the price of Bitcoin was falling. So there weren't too many people making Bitcoin videos. So I transitioned from Baltimore videos to Bitcoin videos. And I was practicing what I was preaching. I was buying Bitcoin on the way down as the price went down. I just posted a flashback the other day on Twitter of a screenshot of when I paid $210 for a Bitcoin, I believe in April of 2015. By 2016, I was making more and more Bitcoin videos. I was still working, doing my online business a little bit, but the YouTube started bringing some in money, and I live a minimalist lifestyle. So I was always living the minimalist lifestyle when I was working for myself and doing the marketing research for software companies. So it all transitioned very nicely. I consider Bitcoin to be a savings account, a newfangled savings account for the 2020s, for the golden age, whatever you want to say it. And so I got a good savings backing me up, to say the least. And I eventually sold my house totally. And I just started using those funds to travel around and live off of that. So that's how I do it. And by 2016, I was like doing a new show like every single day. And the YouTube brought in some more. And it's been quite an adventure. That's the story.
You still do a daily show and then the weekly wrap up?
Yeah, every Friday we do the This Week in Bitcoin, where I have guests on the show. Now I my streak of doing a show every day, that's come to an end back in September. I mean, it got way too intense. I mean, you have to do a lot of research for these shows. I dedicate quite a bit of my time anyway to learning about Bitcoin, going on Twitter. One of the tips I have for people out there who want to, producers in the space on social media, whatever you call that, is just don't let Twitter, you know, be on Twitter, first of all, but don't just like see what's in your feed. Go to specific people's Twitter feeds and read them. Treat them like blog pages. So there's certain people's pages I like go to every single day, and I have to, like, I'm almost like addicted to doing it. And you just, you don't need to read well, I still read CoinDesk and Cointelegraph also, but those are my main, I get a lot of alternative stories that way. Like I find a lot of times I find my own stories out there just from doing Twitter. And that's a good way to get a strong hand and just understand that there's, that you're not alone. And there are a lot of smart people out there that have that strong hand mentality.
You get the strong hand and you put it right on the pulse of the market and what everybody is talking about it and thinking about it.
Yeah.
I love Twitter as well.
it's reinforcing. And my show, a lot of people say if it wasn't for my show, they would have sold, because that's what I preach, that it's a roller coaster. I've seen it at $210 before and I was buying. And I've seen it go up to 20 and then back down to 3,000. And you just got to know, over the long term, it's quite incredible. I mean, I can remember what it was when I was buying at $700 and people were like, and then it dropped to 500 and people were like, oh, you got ripped off at $700. Or when it was at the all time high of 1,100 in 2013. And people were like, it will never get there, never get back. And that's when I came up with one of my great sayings, Bitcoin always returns to its all-time high. It always returns to its all-time high. You just have to wait and it gets there.
So a better savings mechanism is one of the problems that Bitcoin solves. What are other problems that Bitcoin solves?
No, it totally preserves your wealth. That's expanding upon that right there. It's unconfiscatable, uncensorable, uninflatable. All right. And in this era of government overreach and inflation, those are great qualities right there. Okay. We've got banks that might cancel people totally, cut them off because they don't like their political opinions. Well, with Bitcoin, that can't happen. You can't be cut off. It's uncensorable. You can send it to anyone. If you've got a Bitcoin address, you can receive it from anyone. No government can stop you from sending it anywhere. Now, if you've got a regular Wells Fargo account or whatever bank account, that they can stop you, they can kick you off, they can confiscate. If the government deems you an undesirable, they can take all your money. No one can. If you're Bitcoin, if you control your private key, all your Bitcoin, no one can take that. So that's a problem we're living in today. A lot of people fear they can't speak their beliefs anymore because they think they're going to get canceled or get fired. And so you need a savings account that can't be taken away. So you can, like me, I'm a unique beast. Fitting in is overrated. Fitting in is overrated. I can say what I want to say out there, because I got Bitcoin, because no one can take my wealth away. I can't be fired. This is my business. And if you're buying, I mean, again, if you're buying Bitcoin all along, you're in a similar situation where you don't, you've got a pretty good nest egg there. And God forbid, if you had to change things up, you could live off of that nest egg. And again, we're living in an era where people have lost track of what truth is. And, you know, things are very unreliable. The United States dollar can be, you don't know how many dollars are out there. You know how many Bitcoin is out there. It's 21 million. It is the security truth machine. It is not changing. The rules of the game of Bitcoin do not change. The rules of the game of just about everything in life seem to have changed lately. And that's another reason to get into Bitcoin. It's you know what you're getting into. It's not going to all of a sudden change. And that is very rare in this day and age.
It is indeed very rare. What is the number one question that you get asked either on your channel or, you know, by noobs that you meet on your travels, and, you know, how can we help them?
Oh, this is a great question. Unfortunately, the question basically is, Bitcoin is so expensive. What coin is going to be the next Bitcoin? Or is my coin the next Bitcoin? Or what do you think about my coin? Like, it'll be whatever altcoin is the altcoin flavor of the month. They ask you about, because they want you to confirm it. They want you to confirm they did the right thing. They don't realize that I have seen all these altcoins come and go, and there have been popular ones in 2017 that are totally gone now. IOTA comes to mind. I mean, there's this they're all coin flavors a month, and people are constantly asking, they want there to be another Bitcoin, okay? Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin, is the answer. And some people get it, but some people have to learn the hard way, unfortunately. And they come back to me eventually and say, oh, you were right. It's just like, it seems too simple for people. Like, so you're saying you just buy and hold Bitcoin? That's all you do? You don't trade it? You don't go into altcoins? Yes, that is all I have done. And I've never sold a Bitcoin for fiat. Thus, I am in very, very good shape right now. And it might sound boring to you, but I mean, not too many Bitcoin. I don't know what the number is right now. It depends. I mean, it's like 20 something Bitcoin make a person a millionaire now. I was telling people back in 2015, you know, buy 10 Bitcoin right now. I visited New Zealand in the December of 2015, before I went to Australia, and I made a video that said, buy 10 Bitcoin, spend less than $5,000. It costs less than $5,000 to get 10 Bitcoin. And now, I mean, 10 Bitcoin is basically like $500,000 or something like that. And again, we're talking about American dollars. But buy and hold.
It's $700,000.
Yeah, in Australia, it's worse. I mean, and speaking of Australia, I don't know how anyone could be in Australian dollars. That's worse than the U.S. dollar. That's worse than the U.S. I mean, and they've totally shut off the economy to the rest of the world, basically, because tourists aren't coming in and everything. So, at least there's a lot worse situations in Australia. I've been to South Africa before. And that's a place I don't know how anyone could be in that currency anymore. I don't know how anyone could be in any fiat currency anymore when we have this glorious option out there that's not being inflated away like they call it stimulus. They make it seem like they're helping everyone by printing. They're not helping anyone. They're not helping the savers. They're helping the Bitcoin holders.
It's the Bitcoin stimulus. They're helping Bitcoin get better and better.
Yeah, pound that like button for that one, baby. I love it.
You had to say it. I love that.
Yeah, I had to get that in there for the people that are watching this on YouTube or wherever they may be watching.
Hopefully people who listen to this and are not yet familiar with your show are going to go watch it on Fridays because it's just so entertaining.
Well, you've been a guest on the show twice. You've been on it back in 2017 and in 2018. It was 2018. No, 19.
No, 2019.
2019. Yeah, it was 2019 in October or November or something when I was there.
It was right before you came here, I think. Oh, you were.
I was there. I was in Sydney. Exactly. Yeah.
Ah, such a good times. So just sticking to Bitcoin makes life simpler, right?
Yes.
So that's like minimalism or maximalism? What's a Bitcoin maximalist?
that's great. That's a great question. What is a Bitcoin maximalist? Okay, on one extreme, there's a lot of different ways of looking at that. A lot of different gradations, I'd say. The most extreme level is a person that's like, I only buy Bitcoin if all the other coins are scams, and they will call them scams. And they will call you a scammer if you like even mention the. I mean, it's like the Bitcoin Inquisition. It's really extreme. You can't say anything good about anything but Bitcoin. Now, people will call me a Bitcoin maximalist because all I buy is Bitcoin. The only thing I've ever spent on fiat for fiat is Bitcoin. Now I have people have given me altcoins. I don't want all altcoins to disappear. Like, I am not into destroying anything. I'm into creation. I'm into innovation. So I have no problem with these people doing their altcoins and everything and trying to pump up their altcoins. You know, they're temptations in life. Personal responsibility is the new counterculture. It's your responsibility to understand what Bitcoin is and not to get involved in these altcoins. But the most extreme Bitcoin maximalists, they want all the other altcoins. They want the altcoins to all go away. And they think they're scams. They think they're tricks. And in a certain level, they're getting, you know, they're taking away people's personal responsibility. People should be free to be able to look at the other altcoins and play around with them. And, you know, it's not a sin per se. It's not a good financial investment. I believe Bitcoin will be the best. It is the best. Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin. And I value my wealth in Bitcoin. One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. And those are all Bitcoin maximalist type of sayings, but I again, they're different gradations of it. A simple definition is someone who just believes that Bitcoin is the best one. It can't be overtaken, and it is the original. That cannot be denied.
Which so far has been true.
Yeah.
And we'll continue for a while, I guess.
It's established itself quite well over the last, it's 12 years we're at now. And again, there have been plenty of altcoin flavors of the month. And when I travel around the world, people have asked me a question like, when they're kind of confused about altcoins, they're like, what is this Litecoin type of Bitcoin I've heard of? Like, they completely think cryptocurrency is Bitcoin, and then there are other names for different Bitcoins. So, I mean, it's already in people's. I mean, when you hear about it on the mainstream news, they're not talking about Litecoin; they're talking about Bitcoin. Now, I mean, some people say, "Well, I've heard Ethereum mentioned." Okay, Ethereum is number two. Ethereum's the next Ethereum. Great, but it's not even trying to be Bitcoin. It's a completely different animal anyway. And we've got like 5,000 altcoins out there. Come on, again, everyone knows which one is number one.
There are so many, and I do find very amusing whenever you go to a conference, or used to at least, or talk to someone and they say, oh, because I'm working on this project and it's going to be the next Bitcoin. That's the moment that I turn off. It's like, mate, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know the person is new then. And I mean, it goes back to, that's why I mentioned that's the question I get the most. It is something like that just involves an altcoin someone's trying to sell me. I mean, in 2017, it was ICOs. It's crazy. There's always going to be, but that's the interesting thing about innovation. Let people come up with any idea that they want to, and they'll just have to learn. Let the market decide, and the market has decided quite nicely for Bitcoin. Another question I think people are going to get is just like, Bitcoin is so expensive, and I should just buy an altcoin because it's cheaper. They don't understand that Bitcoin is divisible, that you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. And I get questions around that price kind of question around altcoins versus Bitcoin. They don't even know. They're just like, well, I'll just get the cheap Bitcoin, which is a Bcash. Why should I pay $50,000 for a Bitcoin when I can get this cheap? No, that's not Bitcoin, dude.
That's not Bitcoin at all.
And you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. People don't get it that they can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. Plenty of people don't get that.
So yeah, education is most important, I think. And, the work that you do and other people who have YouTube channels who teach others about the fundamentals is a very important work. Thank you for doing it.
Well, you're welcome. And unfortunately, in the space that the people, the best way to get popular in the cryptocurrency space is talk about every single altcoin flavor of the month. I mean, that's the way you do it. And I talk about Bitcoin. So if anyone wants a recommendation out there, I wouldn't talk about what you believe in, but talk is cheap. Buy Bitcoin, and so that you can talk about what you want to, you can talk about what you believe in, because if you don't have the financial backing, you're going to get tempted to just totally sell out your beliefs and talk about whatever the YouTube algorithm is pumping out there. And let me tell you, there is some bad stuff out there. People come to me all the time. They offer me money to pump their ICO, pump their altcoin, do this. And you could tell plenty of people fall for it, pump their scammy business, pump their exchange, and people make videos about it. And it's so obvious when a person, well, to me, it's so obvious when a person has totally sold out their principles if they had any. So unfortunately, the most popular, most people are impulsive. Most people like flashy sets and graphics, whatever the new cool thing in cryptocurrency is. And so they'll talk about it and say it's the greatest thing, and that people will forget. People have bad memories. They forget when a person has pumped an altcoin and then it's totally gone to the ground. Into nowhere, and then they're pumping a new altcoin. So there's a lot of people out there because that is the way you get popular on social media, or at least on YouTube, is that's how you monetize it. You can make the most money is just by talking about these altcoins and stuff, which is that's unfortunate. That's how you make the most money through YouTube. The way you make the most money in life is just by buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, That's a good segue to my next question, which will be tips for people who aspire to be content producers. What are some of the things that they can do to get started in the right way?
This is the way I, you know, try to do a show as often as you can, but promote it on Twitter. Kind of figure out the scene on Twitter and follow the people that intrigue you the most. I mean, you can go to my Twitter feed, see who I follow, you know, watch my videos, see who my guests are, and you know, try to get other guests on your show that are popular people, people that are already established. I go on people's shows. Look, I'm on your show right now. Pound that like button. And try to figure out who's, there are a lot of friendly people out there that will come on your show. But always, you know, tweet out things. Don't be shy before you make your first video to be tweeting out things on Twitter and retweeting people. People really appreciate it when you retweet them, and they're more likely to retweet you or mention popular people on Twitter when you tweet things out, and they will retweet you and more people will find out about you. And yeah, collaboration on videos, it can be a big thing. But I just say be a unique beast. That's just, don't be afraid. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to follow the YouTube algorithm. And there are other, you know, you can diversify into Anchor. Anchor is a podcasting platform that's owned by one of the big podcasters now. That's another, you could turn your videos into audio there really easy. Anchor.fm. That's a little special tip right there, I guess. Who's Anchor owned by? Let me see. They're owned by Spotify.
Okay.
That's a good one. What other? I don't spend time on. I think Facebook is terrible, so I wouldn't waste my time there. But some people like to promote themselves. Crypto Twitter is where it's at. I mean, that is, every day is like a battle there. And don't waste too much of your time arguing with altcoiners. That could take up a lot of time. Just be in motion is something that I, don't get into a negative mindset and think the world is coming to an end. Always stay positive. And if you have an abundance mindset, you'll do great in this golden age. I think some people that are into cryptocurrency get into it because they want to like tear down the whole system and, you know, they're anticipating the end of the world, kind of negative things, and they want to destroy altcoins or destroy this. You know, keep a positive, you know, keep a productivity mindset where, you know, let those people do what they do. I'm going to produce my best product, let them produce their product, and I'm not going to waste time arguing with them.
Oh, well, this podcast is about people that are working in the space, not just in building Bitcoin businesses, but building blockchain businesses and building businesses that are based on Ethereum. So, you know, I think they already have an open mind about things. And, you know, being positive is a very good attitude, very good advice.
Yes, I'm always, people are like, yes, aren't you on coffee or on you're drinking caffeine, you're so excited. I'm like, no, man, I am high on freaking life, baby. And that's the thing, I'm a very healthy person. People's defaults are so bad in life. They're like, are you on drugs? I'm like, no, come on. I'm going to go running 5 miles after this, man. I just appreciate life. We're just in an amazing time period now. Think about this. I mean, where you could just buy this digital currency that's going up, that's scarce, and then you can send to someone in Australia or South Africa or wherever, and it's helping people get money out of countries that have currency restrictions, and it's going up in value. I mean, what a crazy world, and no country can control it or stop it. It's and you know, there are other technologies that are coming up in this decade also. This is just that this is the financial technology. I mean, it's a great time to be alive. So
There's AI, there's IoT, there's just something that just landed in Mars. Things are happening everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, that Mars thing it's incredible. There's nanotechnology, Elon Musk doing all sorts of stuff. By the end of this decade, you know, the people that are watching this in 2030 are laughing at how primitive we are now. You know, they see how much things have changed by 2030. I can't wait to see it. But I take it one day at a time. It's just great. It's great.
one day at a time. Pound that like button. Thank you so much for being here today, Adam. I really appreciate your time and your expertise and your boundless energy.
There you go.
Which is not caffeinated.
No, it is not. It's pure Adam Meister right there.
Well, I'm caffeinated because it's midnight and I needed one to stay awake. But I'm going to sleep right after this. Thank you. I'll see you again soon.
Thanks. See ya.
Okay. Right. That was great.
All right. It's recording. Yeah, you'll just cut it and everything.
Yeah. I'll cut it afterwards. I'm posting one episode tomorrow. So this is gonna go live in about a week or 2 weeks. 2 weeks at the most.
All right. Well, let me I'll upload the video somewhere, and I'll download it and I'll upload it to my channel eventually too. So and to my audio. So let's stay in touch about that. And it was recording before you got here too, of course. Like, luckily I was not shirtless, but I mean, it's not.
That's okay.
I got it good. It's fine. But I just, like I wasn't Nate. You won't see anything bad before.
That's okay. No, internet in Australia, at least in this new place, is not so good. So my iPad, it's a 5G device that is the one that gets the best connection. So, and because I have started interviews on the iPad before where I forgot to press record, now it's like pre-pressed.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That's why you did it. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I was once interviewed by someone. Yeah, it was bad. It was like 30 minutes and then it wasn't interview. And I had to remember the whole thing like a week later. It was crazy. That was 2017.
I've made some mistakes, but each time I learn a little bit more. So that's good.
That is a good life hack you have right there. Thank God. It's record. I mean, I saw that recording thing. All right. Very good. All right. Well, hopefully there'll be freedom for Australia soon.
We're not bad at all here. We don't have COVID anymore, pretty much. It's just people in quarantine. Every now and then there's one in the wild. And they shut everything down for just a couple of weeks and things get back to normal. So it's okay.
When I'm talking about freedom, I'm talking about like freedom for me to go there. I mean, it's crazy.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking about freedom all around though. It's ridiculous. They could just shut down your whole country at will. That's not cool. That's not cool at all. I mean, we got to come to some, we'll see how this progresses.
Vaccines are arriving, so that's gonna ease things up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, you need the tourism. You need people need to travel again. But I'm glad I live in a big country with lots of different states where I can just, you know, it's different.
Around.
Yeah. It's every place is a little bit different here. So I'm definitely enjoying Florida. There's no, I mean, I was at a real Bitcoin event. We in January in last month, we were all together. Everybody, it was great in person. So it's a lot. Florida is one of the freest places right now on the planet. So it's, but I was recognized on the street as the Bitcoin Meister. Someone in a car screamed out to me, Bitcoin Meister. And I didn't know who he was. It was great. I'm sorry. Continue.
I was just going to say we had a Bitcoin meetup, 3 weeks ago, and we're gonna have another one in another week. So we're starting to have Bitcoin meetups in person as well, which is really nice.
Oh, good. That's good.
It's me and Haas. Haas does the presentation, and we do the Q&A at the end.
Oh, I'm glad that's going on. That you're able. That's good news. I did not know that. I thought we were in. I thought Florida was the only place that. Florida is like the only place in the U.S. that we're doing it. I guess everybody had to wear masks where you were. Like people weren't even wearing masks at this thing. It was great. It's great.
We're not wearing masks anymore anyway. Okay.
Yeah. That's because you eradicated this apparently.
We are living normal lives, which is okay. Minus the tourism, which hopefully will trickle back during this year as people get vaccinated and can travel again. That's great. Our hope anyway.
Awesome. All right.
Well, my friend, thank you so much.
Yes. And have a good night and sleep well.
You have a good run. I'll speak to you soon.
All right. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.